So Hex is a bi-monthly benefit dance party that was started last April. Every dance party aims to benefit a different local organization, and that is why we're all here. And so these are all organizations that we have benefited in the past year, and 100% of proceeds from each party goes towards that organization, and we aim to highlight organizations that are underserved, people of color, women, queers, and anybody who would fall under something like that. So it's really fun. We have a performer and DJs, and we sell things, and it's always really great. So yeah, do y'all have anything to add about what we do or who we are?
We have a cauldron that you can catch the hex in.
Yeah.
For fun.
Mm-hmm. And we have an internet, so we, when we're not throwing parties, we like to highlight these organizations on our Instagram, which is Hex Asheville, and so we aim to, like, plug various events and various people on that platform as well. Yeah, so I'm Evan, and I'm one of the Hex people.
I help Hex. Well, that's like I didn't know what was going to be about. I also volunteer here with Asheville FM. I have a radio show over here every Monday from 6 to 8.
You're also a standing DJ.
Yeah.
DJ every head.
Yeah.
So,
I'm Kira. I'm also part of Hex, just one of the organizers. And I also wanted to just add that we're trying, part of what we're trying to do in addition to the bi-monthly dance party is figure out and facilitate ways to make Hex bigger or make information spread farther and wider and different ways that, that can happen. So also if anybody has any suggestions, let me
know. I'm Allison, and I'm also a Hex organizer. All I have to add right now.
Hi, I'm Angelica Reza Nguyen, and I'm the executive director of ARVOIC, which is Buncombe County's Wave Crisis and Prevention Center. We serve survivors ages 13 and up. Primary and secondary survivors ages 13 and up that have been impacted by sexual violence and human trafficking. And I just want to thank you all for the support. I know we'll talk a little bit more about it later, but sexual violence is a community effort. And while we do a lot in the community to address the prevention of sexual violence, and in addition to providing services to survivors, it's really going to take a community effort. And you are part of that, so I'm very grateful to your support.
And I guess I'll add to that too, just briefly, is in saying that wanting to benefit our voice was part of what started Hex. And so I was an advocate at our voice for 5 years, and then wanted to do something after Trump was elected to help give back in some way, and that was what the first Hex was an our voice benefit. So.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that, because it's also the volunteers that are why we're here. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah,
double thank you.
I'm Dip. I'm representing AHOPE. We're a day center downtown serving homeless folks with basic services like showers and coffee, and also like helping folks get connected to community resources like mental health and housing, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes there's donuts.
I'm Kat. I'm with the Hawthorne Community Herb Collective. We're a group of herbalists that we started a foot clinic at a beloved house last September, and so we mostly serve houseless folks, take care of their feet, and get them to other health resources that they need. And then we're in the midst of starting a free clinic out of AHOPE, a herbal clinic, to serve the same community.
I'm Ash. I'm also part of the Hawthorne Herb Collective, and I will just add to what Kat said that we got together as a group because we really wanted to help build community resilience through offering wellness care through herbs and other resources to communities that are underserved. And we have, in the last year, really focused on like the foot clinic, as Kat said, and trauma care in the community as well. So. Yeah, and we really appreciate Hex for benefiting us.
My name is Sasha, and do work with Transmission Prison Project. Transmission is a queer and trans-powered prison abolition group that provides free literature and resources for incarcerated members of the LGBT community.
I'm Hunter Savoy. I also work with Transmission, and I want to add that we are advocates of solidarity of our queer and trans family behind bars, and we send them their own resources. So we're not just sending in books, we also give them their own autonomy through our own like printed material. And thanks to Hex for help supporting that.
I'm Hillary Brown. I'm with the Study Collective, which is a harm reduction organization for folks who use drugs. We provide syringe access services and naloxone distribution all for free. And we do harm reduction education for folks who are using drugs, their families, and also local nonprofits that are in need of naloxone training. And we're so grateful for Hex.
So I hadn't planned on asking this, but how did you all find each other? How did Hex connect with the groups that are here in this room?
Some people we reached out to, and some reached out to us. So it's been a pretty fluid process with that, and now we have an application process because we were getting so many inquiries.
Well, for this next round, maybe if you want to say more about the work that your organization does in more detail, just to help our listeners get a sense of what the day-to-day looks like, that would be great. And also, if you said what you want to say, you can maybe ask, what does it mean for your organization to receive these small grants? What does that do for you? How does it change your day-to-day?
So our voice is Buncombe County's Web Crisis and Prevention Service that serves survivors of sexual violence and human trafficking. Since 1974, we were born in 1974, we're an all grassroots volunteer organization, which is why Evan saying earlier about their involvement in our work as a volunteer. Really, that's how we were born. We were born out of volunteers, and we continue to be volunteer-led and run until about 1982 when we had our first part-time executive director. Since then, we've grown to a staff of 22 as of last week, which is very exciting because that means that we have a greater capacity of serving survivors. And what that looks like for us on a day-to-day, it allows us to provide survivors of sexual violence and human trafficking with individual counseling, a crisis line, a text line, hospital accompaniment, law enforcement, advocacy, case management. Also allows us to, beyond that, because those are more direct services, really what this funding helps provide is an opportunity for us to engage in more expansive prevention education work. So prevention education, it tends to be the other side of our work that tends to not be funded because it's more longer term. When we talk about prevention education, it's about shifting the social norms and attitudes that contribute to sexual violence. It also means of how is it that we as a sexual an anti-sexual violence organization works to dismantle oppressions that contribute to sexual violence, because sexual violence is about power and control, right? And so having what I would consider unrestricted funding, one that doesn't come necessarily with strings of like this is what you have to use the money for, allows us to be able to try different innovative approaches with working with communities that are more vulnerable and susceptible to sexual violence, but yet less likely to access our resources, because we don't have to explain why it is us dismantling racism is important in ending sexual violence. And so without that, we would be, again, talking more within the margin of what traditional view on sexual violence. And I do want to say that since the Me Too movement, one of the things that we've seen is when we compared our figures from the year before to where we're at now, from October to December, we experienced 150% increase in survivors accessing our services. And not because sexual violence is occurring at a higher rate, because we know it's not. It tends to be one of the most underreported crimes, but it's because the silence around it has been shattered. And more survivors have felt that for the first time they're able to take that first step and access services. And that's also part of what your funding helps support, is to be able to hire and work with contract counselors that can help us with trying to minimize our waiting list, because the last thing we want to happen is for a survivor to say, yes, I was impacted by sexual violence, and now I'm ready to take that first step, only to be told that we can't serve them right away because we have a waiting list. Mm-hmm. And so that is how the funding impacts what they are day to work.
At AHOPE, like, similarly, it's so nice to have some funds that aren't restricted, because so many grants come with so many restrictions, like you can only use it for this thing or this thing. Mm-hmm. And what that money has been really helpful for us is ID stuff and bus tickets. So, like, if someone comes in and doesn't have any ID, you have to go through so many hoops to get your ID back, your, like, social security card, your birth certificate, your driver's license, and all those things. Most of those things come with fees. And so it's nice to have a pool of money where we can just throw a check to get a birth certificate to get that process started. Because then, like, some of the shelters you can't stay in without having an ID, you can't get a job, you can't get an apartment. There's so many things that stops. So, yeah, most of the funds, it's been really helpful to have some money for that, and then for bus tickets too, when we don't have the staff to run people to appointments and things like that. It's been really nice. Thank you.
So the Hawthorne Collective is a really small group, and we don't have much of a day-to-day, but we've been running the foot clinic, which happens twice a month. And it initially started, we got a grant for about $500, and I've been able to make it that stretch for 6 months just by, like, being really good about it. So a big sum of money like that would really go far. We've already served, like, 150 people at the foot clinic, and we teach classes about herbal medicine at different locations and use that money to buy things like alcohol and glycerin and oils and containers so we can make a bunch of herbal medicine and be able to give it out.
Yeah, a lot of our... We're in... We're at about a year and a half right now of being a collective. And so a lot of the past year was building foundations and doing lots of meetings to figure out systems and organizing apothecary and making medicine. Last summer we spent a lot of time gathering donations and making our own medicine so that we would be able to have support for people when they needed it. And we've been able to help with J20 support and a few other different workshops where they were offering trauma support and spring medicine there. And in the beginning, we had self-care days, so anyone in the community could come and just get some basic things, basic needs met. And so we're hoping to continue those as well. And it's always changing. Definitely kind of depends on what's happening out in the world and what's happening with the season, since we are making a lot of plant medicine. So, okay. So you can also find Hawthorne Herb Collective on Instagram at Hawthorne Herb Collective. And if you Facebook search Hawthorne Herb Collective, you will find our Facebook page. But again, the website is like a hub, and you can find all of that from there, and that is hchcadl.com.
I will say, with transmission, the money that was given to us by HEX, actually we kind of tallied it, and I sent out 641 packages, which is like basically 3 months of packages, like, out to carrying trans folks that are currently incarcerated.
Which is what, like, most of our day-to-day is.
Yeah.
Is filling orders that people have made requests for.
Yeah, most of it is just going through letters that folks have written to us and, you know, going through them and reading what their requests are as far as literature, what their interests are in, and really serving them and trying to find something. If it's not their exact title of book or not their exact resource, like, really finding something that is along the lines that they could, you know, be interested in and have. So a lot of it is going through letters and really addressing, like, what is in the letter, writing on the envelopes, like, you know, the main takeaway from what the letter is, and then, you know, coming in the next day, or, like, someone else pulling books, like, from our offices, which is, like, lined with books. We could always use more books, obviously, but what we have is, like, really, really solid right now. Our offices are in downtown Books and News. Just want to shout them out and say thank you for giving us that space. It's really useful to us and really important.
We've also been trying to do, like, a bit more advocacy for people with, like, specific requests. People sometimes will ask us for resources on, like, how to maybe, like, transition or, like, learn more about transitioning in prison. There's a lot of other things like folks who are undocumented needing specific resources and stuff, and we just like handle like that stuff on like a one-to-one basis or whatever, and just try to
yeah. We get a lot of requests for like legal advice or reentry advice and all these sorts of things. We try to aid folks with what those processes could look like. As part of an NPRL that we created called the National Prison Resource List, that basically, instead of us telling them exactly the steps that they should take like for their concern or what they're interested in taking away, we send them this resource list that they themselves can serve themselves. Like having like corn dog fundraising and like cupcake fundraising and like film screenings and all these sorts of things. Like we just screened
I'm a bank robber.
Yeah, it's a gentleman bank robber.
This is about Rita Bowe
Brown.
By the George Jackson Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
During the UNCA Queer Studies Conference.
So STEDI started in November of 2015 as an Any Positive Change support group, and it was started by directly impacted people, folks who were using drugs or had a history of drug use. And the Any Positive Change support group was anybody could show up, they could want to do anything, set their own goals, and they were supported in doing that. And that's what STEDI was for a while. The folks who were running that group were also doing naloxone distribution. Folks could call their cell phone and they would just deliver naloxone to them. We were doing a little bit of syringe exchange under the table prior to legalization. And then I was asked to be on the founding board in April of 2016, and that was right before syringe exchange legalization. And when that happened in the summer of 2016, we immediately started trying to figure out spots where we could do outreach, and one of our first spots was in the back of Firestorm Books, and we're still there every Tuesday, 1:30 to 4. And the last 2 weeks we've been there, we've done 1,500 syringes in that 2.5-hour period. We're just doing a lot of volume right now, and sort of part of the way syringe exchange looks in North Carolina is we are in the midst of an opioid crisis, an overdose crisis. We had 258 reversal reports with our kits in 2017, so that means someone got a kit from us. We basically give all of our kits to folks who are actively using or their family members, and they reverse the overdose of a friend. And we believe that drug users are the real first responders, and so they're there on the scene. They're reversing overdoses, and we got 258 reports back from folks that they had done that. And we handed about 1,700 naloxone kits out to folks. And naloxone is kind of taken care of. That's like an in-kind donation. That's great. Coming from NCHRC, which is great. But needles, injecting equipment, all of that stuff is very hard to fund, and we do receive some county money, but they have restricted that money, and so we can't buy injecting supplies with that. No state funds can be used for injecting supplies. No federal funds can be used for injecting supplies. So, like Our Voice and like AHOPE, you know, if we don't have to account for something, it's better. Really, the thing we need is syringes. Like, it's great to have money for other stuff, but you know, when we have Hep C spiking and we have HIV spiking, HIV has continued to be a problem in the South, we need clean needles. And we also know right now that folks who are living in Appalachia are 65% more likely to overdose than people who don't live in Appalachia. So we have a particular problem in Western North Carolina that we just don't have the funds to address. So anytime we get money, we're super amped and immediately place a giant order from our buyers club for cookers and tourniquets and cottons and syringes, and that stuff goes right out to folks and is getting used. And so, yeah, we're super grateful for that. And after we got the money from HEX, which was almost $2,000, we did immediately place an order and, you know, saw that stuff go pretty quickly. So, yeah, we did 73,000 syringes in 2017. So it's a lot.
I wanted to give people the chance to talk about how the community can get involved with your work, but I also want to open it up. There's other things that you think that people should know when they listen to the radio, like things that you think people should know about your community that you're working with or the work that you do. you know, also feel free to throw that right in there. This can be our final go round, if that sounds okay.
Can I just make one observation? As a result of funding, not only did we are able to do our work, but because you support all these other organizations, and one way or another, we've worked. But I want to work more with y'all because I was like, so cool. But we work with every one of y'all at your organizations in one way or another. So by you allowing to, empowering us by providing the funds, we can do our work, but it also allows us, it amplifies what you've given, because we've worked with you a couple of weeks ago where you came and trained our staff, and we've got a couple of kits. So there's just so much intersectionality in terms of the great work that's being done here. And so I wanted to point that out. Y'all were very skillful in picking out for whatever reason.
It worked out that way.
I think it's cool to mention that we're all just like mass changers.
You know
what I mean?
I also wanted to ask you, like, a part of HEX, but also I feel like you're a part of a lot of other, like, organizations in town, and, like, through your own parties and things like that. Maybe if you wanted to speak to that, too, and give that, like, a shout-out.
Right. Well, I just, you know, hearing all of you, I don't work for a specific organization. I like to support. I like my autonomy. I don't like to be part of, and I think that in a way that I'm also part of a collective, but it's a collective of people that they either part of non-profits, you know, or they've been victims of, you know, injustice, and they like to remain, you know, unknown. But speaking of that, this is how, you know, we've been able to get where we are. It is also a collective of people that is passionate about culture, music, you know, especially music. And we've been able to put events. But the name of the collective is Collective Ijari, which is an indigenous word from Mexico that means what comes from, what is true, you know, what comes from the heart in the indigenous perspective, or the Huichole. So we realized that by volunteering our time to different nonprofits that help the Latin community, for lack of a better word, we realized that social change wasn't gonna happen in our community through them, or just giving our time to these nonprofits, because the knowledge that we have in this, especially in Nashville, about immigrants coming here, it's like people until today it's not. And I've been here for 14 years. I wasn't able to go other cities because lack of education. I didn't understand. I didn't know English when I came here. Yeah. And this is one of the issues that we have in the community, and that's the reason of why we've been volunteering through the radio. We've been doing radio since for like 10 years ago with WPBM, when it used to be a better station. And the commitment, as you probably remember that, right? The commitment that the community had in those spaces, you know, it was really poor. I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but I'll get to a point. volunteering with nonprofits and being able to share music to the community, we realized that that was the most efficient resource that we have in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, music, because music carries a lot of history, and whether it's, you know, from the ghetto or from any place in the world. You know, obviously people prefer to listen to different type of sounds, you know, and I try to stay away from the mainstream music, but I do also like that, because right now, thanks to HEX, I've been able to realize that there is no other way that things are going to change in this community. We actually don't support each other, and would have not have an intention set before we create something, you know, because I've been part of different parties, you know, that are benefits, and people that is involved in that, and they just feel good about it for a little bit, and then, you know, they stop. Especially with working with the Latin community, it's of the immigrant community, and you know, everybody probably has the same experience. You know, it's really hard to understand, you know, the levels of, like, everybody has different levels of oppression. You know, like, there is, you know, women that come here in different situations. You know, there is even people that came here legally and they struggle to be in this community because of the lack of diversity, the lack of culture. You know, and I have a kid, you know, which is the main reason why I'm so involved in the community. You know. Because I don't want to leave behind this, you know, I want to create a better community for my son. Right now I'm dealing with my niece who just turned 17, that she's going out to clubs, you know, but what do we really have for them? This community, there's nothing that they can identify with, you know, there is nothing that represents them in the community, you know, and this is why we've been pushing music so hard, and thanks to Hex. Now there's new groups organizing from different communities because they realize that it's actually, like, to create social change in this community or any community, it has to be consistent, you know, and it has to be all the time, you know. Whether, you know, I remember that we weren't able to reach out to all of you, you know, and to support the work that you guys do. Because we also want to break down those narrow perspectives that people have about the immigrant community or the Latin community, you know. But I know that we haven't been able to do a really good job in connecting with other communities too. And that's because, you know, a lot of undocumented people, you know, including myself, like, or we've been pushed to don't think as far as we can, you know, because you can't, if I, you know, drive from here to my house, if I pass a red light, I'm going to be sent back to my country, you know, and we have to learn not to live with that fear, you know? And for us to even, you know, view the option of creating something in a place where we have no support, you know, it's challenging, you know, and it's scary because ultimately, and that's, you know, one of the reasons that I'm not big in social media, you know. I'm like, I have my issues with that, you know, but I also feel like right now we need people that, you know, it doesn't do things for ego in the community, you know, that it, like, you know, has the collective name say that it does it from the heart, you know, whatever. I can feel free, you know, I know there's people in need, you know, so therefore, like, it'll be kind of like hypocrite for me to be asking for support when I'm not giving anything, but we have to create a relationship too, you know, which is something that they are doing, and that's what I'm so committed to do, to help them, you know, they are the ones behind it. And they've been a great role model for these collectives and these communities. Now, like, we didn't have a female energy DJing from the Latin community, but now there's three, you know, and it's thanks to her, you know, thanks to a DJ that, you know, they have issues with, but she inspired them to come out and, you know, to create something, and this is something that also Hex has been doing, and I'm thankful that I ran into this group of individuals and I'm doing this work in the community, you know, that it needs to be done, and it's the only way, you know, we can talk to people about politics, and, you know, it just, there's people that myself that I dropped school when I was 11. You know, that doesn't justify the fact that I don't know, but I understand things in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree with the institutional education, especially from people from my country, because I know how it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we think like that, we're never going to have a presence in this community. You know? So thank you all of you.
Which I think is also something that, like, Evan and like, or that we just like have talked a lot about, and Hex is feeling so important in the decision making and choosing what organizations we benefit, is like how it's feeding back into the community, and like that it is something that is continuous or like needs help and doesn't, can't receive it from like the state or like the federal government or whatever, and like in a way that does feel like there hopefully can be some growth for like give and take, and they like exchange and the knowledge of one another, and I feel like that has played a really crucial role in how we've decided like what direction we even wanted to go at the beginning when we were not being approached and we were like seeking out different organizations. And I feel like it's been great.
I guess I'll also just say now we have like almost a year and a half worth of applicants like that we haven't even been able to respond to yet. It's that reason, like people really want to receive that money that's not designated towards something. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, and it's so hard to like have all these incredible people reaching out to us and have to tell them that they'll have to wait like 9 months to like even like hear back from us, but it's part of the process, and it's kind of a cool problem to have.
Yeah.
Especially because Hex is only able to be every other month right now, so that's why.
So I just wanted to extend a hand to, you know, we the group that I work with, the every party that we're trying to put on, we're doing the same role model that Hex is doing. Like, we're giving a percentage to the nonprofit or whatever we can work with the establishment, because that's other thing that we're facing to the community. The business owners doesn't have a relationship with the Latin community or the African American community, and they don't open the doors as easily to do events, you know, reggae or.
What's the party called that you do?
We started doing one called Buena Onda, which means good vibes. And we're focusing on music from the Caribbean and Central America, South America. And but we also created other parties where we focus on African beats, you know, and we did another party where we focus just on like traditional music, you know. But we always want to help the community. You know, that's the only way we work as a community. But every individual has their own autonomy, and they can. I know that I told a few people from the collective that I was gonna be here, and it was okay for me to extend the hand. Like, if you guys wanna do a benefit in the future to the collective, you know, teams, because. Even though we have more parties, we're still limited. You know, mm-hmm. We need to create, you know, create more DJs, you know, to create more spaces, to open more spaces. You know. Mm-hmm. But that will help us too.
Yeah, and it's also worth saying, like, a huge thanks to the Mothlight for being this incredible, incredible host, to Hex, who don't charge anything for the space, and are just a really amazing community resource for these kind of parties and events. Yeah.
One of the really special things I'm hearing you describe is like creating opportunities for community to support community, mm-hmm. but it like feels very horizontal, mm-hmm. and it could look so many different ways. Like, mm-hmm. this version is a dance party, and then, mm-hmm. But that's kind of the special center of it.
Mm-hmm. I think also like it's worth saying that. And y'all sort of named this, but like Hex is a model for all of these other organizations, businesses in town. There's so many like businesses, things popping up in Asheville, all this gentrification. and, you know, I think that a lot of times when benefits happen at breweries or like bigger businesses, that money goes to sort of like the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough when there are like so many problems that we're all addressing that are, mm-hmm. you know, wildly underfunded. And, you know, so I think that we're always looking for places that can you know, figure out a way to help us come up with $500. And there are a lot of people that do that. I think, like, we're not connecting or something's not happening. But but HEX really is a model for, like, this can happen. It can look this way. It can be fun. People are engaged, you know.
If with the collective, we've been able to help people from Honduras. And, well, Berta Caceres, who it was environmental activist from Colombia, she was killed by the CIA. And we helped her family to buy a truck so they can mobilize the collective. So this is, you know, and the lack of understanding and communication in the community, that's what is keeping us, you know. We have their resources, you know. We have the people that want to do it. Like, you know, I guess every one of us is capable of, you know, just communicating. And that's something that from the Latin community, it's, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what it is, you know, that people doesn't just, you know, express their needs. I know it's being vulnerable, it's really hard, but you know, like if you have kids, doing much, that's my mentality, you know, with my family.
I also want to add, like, for an organization like Transmission, that we're all volunteers and we're self-run, like we're not a nonprofit, so it's like, it makes it really difficult for us to approach businesses to ask them to support us or like ask for any sort of money, because most of the times they won't even involve themselves with us or to offer like a certain cut, or like it's just like there's a lot of hoops to like go through, yeah, write-offs and all these sorts of things that like as a nonprofit like, we don't have the ability to necessarily address. Then with working with HEX, it's like we're given 100% of what is raised, you know, like that is major, and we don't have like we have a different relationship with them because they are like a community-based, like community-serving organization as well. Like it is a really viable process that, like, really, honestly, like, you know, exists outside of a framework of capital. Like it's like funneling money that we're supposed to be given, you know, like we're not supposed to be given. That's what I want to say, but you know what I mean. Yeah, it operates outside of a system of capital that like turns into like a financial aspect or like a business, you know.
Yeah. With the Hawthorne Collective, I'd like to second that. We're not a nonprofit, so it's hard for us to raise money and get grants, and we're spending so much time doing the work and organizing that it's hard to organize to make money. So it's really helpful to just be able to get money to use towards our projects. And I also, what I didn't say before, the inspiration for a lot of our projects, especially the Foot Clinic, is we have this huge housing crisis, as I'm sure we all know. And I just really love the Foot Clinic. We have it every other week, and it's just like an opportunity to sit with folks that you wouldn't normally interact with. And, you know, we have all of this gentrification, and it's really easy to be in our bubbles and not interact with other people that have limited resources or come from different backgrounds. And every other week I can sit with someone and listen to their story, and it just blows my mind about like maybe perceptions and ideas you might have. Like most of the people I work on their feet, that a lot of them sleep outside, and a lot of them have jobs and all these things that people wouldn't think. Why the Foot Clinic is important is a lot of folks walk all day in really poor shoes, and I hear it time and time again, people don't take off their shoes when they sleep because they might get stolen, or as soon as they do, they get stolen. I just hear it so much, and it's evident when you're working on their feet, they have like really serious issues. They have a lot of fungus because fungus grows in that dark environment, and so it really means a lot for them to like take off their shoes. It's like this vulnerability and this connection, and And so I guess we're hoping to do that with the Herbal Clinic as well, like kind of make it sort of an intersectional thing where we can invite other practitioners and like create community to take care of each other.
Like, the folks that we're serving in Transmission, they want to be listened to. Like, most of it is just, like, trying to find an emotional connection or somebody to, like, aid them in a certain way. You know, like, a lot of times we get, like, written about wanting a pen pal or just wanting, like, some sort of connectivity. And so, like, part of our work is to, you know, sometimes we choose to write them back or to connect them with folks that can write to them. It's just emotional support, you know, to folks that are, you know, our queer and trans, like, incarcerated comrades.
I guess I also wanted to add, in relation to what y'all were saying about not being a nonprofit and being volunteer-run, is that that's what HEX is also. And so there's a handful of us, and we're all volunteers. And the reason that we've been able to stay so consistent over this past year is from getting a grant through Awesome Asheville, which was incredibly helpful. And yeah, so we're like, it's cool too that we're all in that same boat of not knowing exactly like where our funds are going to come from, but then being able to be the ones generating those funds for y'all.
And I think the turnaround time is just like great, as the study is a nonprofit, and so like, you know, sometimes there will be some unwieldy bureaucracy, and they'll be like, yeah, we'll totally give you money, and then we see that a year from now, or we have to jump through a lot of hoops to get it, and like, there's just such immediacy with the work that we do, that for the benefit to happen and to like get the money pretty quickly is also like a really great thing. And the thing that we say a lot when we're having conversations with people about the opioid crisis, which the county, Buncombe County, says is their number one priority, but we are the most, we are the least funded response to the opioid crisis and the most controversial. We are also evidence-based, like the CDC and the World Health Organization just says needle exchanges work, you gotta do it. Naloxone works, you know, it saves lives. You know, so we have to like struggle and have a lot of meetings and like a lot of sit downs with folks about funding us, and with HEX it's just like, oh yeah, this is valuable to us. We see this as a need. We're gonna do the thing, and now here's the money. It's mm-hmm. like, oh gosh, it's a miracle. You know? Like, oh, it happens without 8,000 meetings.
Or a 30-page.
Yeah, grant. Just finished the grant today, super long, very taxing. Nobody danced.
Well, as a last round, it would be great to just hear from everyone about if the community wants to get involved, wants to support your work, wants to learn more about what you do, how can they go about doing that?
Can I go first and then I get up there because I have two kids over at the
Yeah.
Thanks again for the support. I really appreciate each and every one of y'all. Again, any sexual violence is not our, it is our mission, but it's not our sole responsibility. And so there's always opportunities for individuals in the community to be involved. They can volunteer through our crisis fund, be a crisis advocate. They can do office volunteer as well, outreach, prevention education as well. Obviously, they can always donate, which is, again, the more unrestricted funding, the better for us. They can also organize a hospital bag packing party as well. We also do packing parties where we have hospital bags that we prepare. We don't get any funding for that, so that also supported that piece of it. And so what that means is we have to seek donations from the community for a change of clothing, toiletries, because what we know is when a sexual assault survivor goes to the hospital, get a forensic kit done, and they have to keep the clothing as evidence. That Mission Hospital, you'd be surprised, that Mission Hospital doesn't provide them clothing. And so that's what the hospital bags. So when we go, we have a change of clothing for survivors to come out when they have to keep their clothing. We also have now created an anti-human trafficking backpack as well. Again, because the survivors of human trafficking also can be transient. You know, and so one of the pieces that we have is a backpack where we have change of clothing, some food, a cell phone in case for emergencies and things like that, so they can also do like an anti-human trafficking backpack party. And I was going to go this whole thing like, yeah, and you know, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and go to all these events, and you can, and I will encourage you to do that. You can visit our website at ourvoicenc.org, again, ourvoicenc.org. But if I can say, one of the ways that each and every one of us can be involved in the anti-sexual violence movement is you will find that on a daily basis that you have opportunities
to be a disruptor in oppressions that contribute to sexual violence, like misogyny, patriarchy, transphobia, xenophobia. I can keep going on, and each one of us has an opportunity to disrupt that. And so you can start now by being one of those. Disrupt it, call it out, because until we continue to break that silence, silence is complicity, and so that's how
we're... There's plenty of ways to get involved with AHOPE and with the homeless community in Asheville. In AHOPE specifically, we always need volunteers. We have mail, so we receive mail for thousands of people, and so we always need folks there to sort the mail and get people's mail when they come to check their mail at AHOPE. We always, always can use stock donations. So if anyone out there has stock, bring them by. Also, y'all are probably super aware that it's housing situation in Asheville is pretty out of control. Like, even if you have all your ducks in a line, like a job, ID, all of that, it's still really difficult to find an apartment. So if anyone's a landlord and wants to work with Homeward Bound, that'd be awesome. But in general, like, yeah, AHOPE itself, the day center, we can always use socks, we can always use mail sorters, and I think the biggest way to get involved is just to, like, treat the folks you see out on the street like people, which is pretty basic, but, yeah, that's what I got. We need socks.
We also need socks. Preferably synthetic cotton or... We can always use socks and gently used shoes for the foot clinic, especially like walking shoes. We can always use volunteers at the foot clinic. We're expanding as more people are hearing about our services and wanting our services, and we are often short on volunteers. So if anyone's interested, they can contact us through the Hawthorne Collective website, which is...
You can find Hawthorne online at hchcavl.com, and if you go to the website, there's links to our fundraising site, a YouCaring site where we can collect monetary donations. There's ways that you can get involved in person, like Kat was talking about, if you want to volunteer. You can volunteer at the foot clinic. You can volunteer helping us make medicine. Soon we'll be taking volunteers for the free clinic as well. And we also accept herb donations and bottle donations because we are constantly giving out bottles full of medicine, so we need more bottles to replace them. And a really great way you could help and benefit is to come to the HEX this month on the 21st and dance with us. HEX is benefiting Hawthorne this month, which is awesome.
And everyone's been really humble and hasn't said yet, but everyone says it's the best dance party in Asheville,
yeah.
And it's the best music, and it feels super safe and good for everyone. So if you haven't been before, you should check it out.
Yeah, even if you don't have anyone to go with, or if you're looking to make friends, it's just a great place to be and hang out with people. And we'll be there with some herbal shots, some vinegar things.
Also, just to piggyback that for the April HEX, HEX always, the doors open at 8. So if you don't want to come out late, or you're not like a bar person, or you're not a dance party person, we do like to try to have things in the earlier hours for folks that still want to like show up and support. So we have tarot readings that all the profits from that also go to whatever organization we're benefiting. We try to have a performer, and we do have one this month. And we just try to make it accommodating for anybody who might not want to come to a dance party but still wants to come out.
Yeah, I guess to get further involved in transmission, if anyone is interested, we could always use book donations. And this is, like, not just, like, any books. We're talking about, like, books that are specifically based on, like, LGBTQ issues. Honestly, erotica is, like, something that we get a lot of asks for. We also have packaging parties on the fourth Thursday of every month. They're at Firestorm. books on Haywood Road in West Asheville, and the upcoming packaging party is this is on the 26th of this month from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We also have an Amazon wish list, which can be accessed through Amazon lists at our Gmail account name, which is transmission with a Z, prisonproject@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. I also want to add that, like listen to incarcerated folks. Like, they need to be the ones that are centered to, like, lead the way and how to help them, and to, like, you know, we can't be the ones to constantly, like, trying to put in force that we know how to help them. Like, they need to be telling us, and they can tell us. Like, they're incredibly capable persons, you know? Like, just because they are subjected to, like, the prison industrial complex and, like, they are incarcerated currently, does that mean that they don't have a voice? Like, they need to be listened to, like, and supported and helped in any way possible, whether it's through, like, writing letters. Like, there's plenty of organizations that only do, like, letter writing to queer, trans, incarcerated folks, or, you know, monetary things, like putting money on their books. Like, everybody needs money on their books. Like, they are not put away and gone. Like, they are put away, and they're still, like, the same, like, dynamic, like, functional human being that they always are. So, like, while they're incarcerated and when they're outside. And, like, even speaking to folks, like, after, you know, they are released and they're back in, like, in this, like, free world, they still need, like, support, like, reentry support and stuff. So there's plenty of organizations to get involved with that, too. As far as transmission and what Transmission Project does, I can't stress enough, like, Sasha said it already, but, like, we really do need more books that deal with, like, LGBTQ issues, trans issues, mostly, just aiding, like, in the process of transitioning for somebody, as well as, you know, LGBTQ history and all these sorts of things. You can go to our website. It's transmissionproject.org. It's transmission with a Z and an S. And we have an Instagram that you could follow, which is Transmission Prison Project, again with a Z. So we're always looking for any sorts of donations. I'm done. Thanks.
So I think in terms of connecting with Steady, Steady's website is thesteadycollective.org. And we, if folks need needles or biohazard containers, wound care stuff, we table at Haywood Street Congregation, which is where our office is, Tuesdays from 10 to 1, and then that afternoon on Tuesdays we're at Firestorm from 1:30 to 4, and then we are back at Haywood Street Congregation on Wednesdays during their meal from noon to 3. And during that time we also take reversal reports, and a lot of what we do at this point in the opioid crisis is a lot of grief care, which is not what I anticipated my job would be, but spend a lot of time with folks talking about loved ones who've died recently, about what it's like to watch overdoses over and over and over again and not be able to reach out for care because of the fear of criminalization. Folks who use drugs are a highly stigmatized population, have been subjected to the drug war, and are now dealing with rapid gentrification and lack of access to enough health care. We've seen a huge influx in endocarditis surgeries in Montgomery County, which is an infection of the heart lining that happens from using dirty needles. We know of folks who tell us that they're using water from the French Broad River to shoot up, which is terrifying. So we, in addition to always needing needles, we always need all the other supplies that go with a clean injecting kit. So when you donate to us, we're buying wound care stuff, so folks who have abscesses can treat that at home if they're afraid to go to the hospital. We do buy tourniquets, cookers, cotton, sterile water for people so they're not injecting with river water. We buy bottled water, so if you just want to donate bottled water or you want to donate Band-Aids, those are things we always need. But money is great. I love money. I never say that except in the context of talking about study. But money's good in this context. Also, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. We do all the social medias. Yeah, so we always need support, and it really just a call out for businesses in Asheville. You're making a bunch of money off tourists. We need it. And you know, we're all working, everybody in this room is working with folks who just aren't receiving all the services they need. And, you know, we get a lot of questions about, like, how many folks are referring to treatment, how many people are getting into treatment. We're seeing people, a lot of times, who aren't ready for treatment. And we're seeing people who we just need them to not get sick, you know, and they need somebody to listen to, is not going to call the cops, and who isn't going to try to convince them that they're a bad person or they're making bad decisions. We are doing harm reduction. We're being present to folks, and we need funding to make that happen.
Awesome. If you want to support HEX, if you want to support HEX, you can come to HEX. The next one is April 21st at the Mosslight, and it's a benefit for Hawthorne Community Herb Collective. It starts at 8 p.m. with tarot readings by Sarah Chapel, and goes on from there with a performance by Ganymede, three DJs, DJ Honey, DJ Lex, and DJ Malinalli. And so we'll be there from 8 until 2 in the morning. And you can always help us sweep after if you want. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Other things that you can do are donate to whatever organization we're benefiting or any of these organizations in the past. You can all find on our Instagram at Hex Asheville. If you wanted to, you could donate to Hex at hexasheville@gmail.com via PayPal. And, yeah, anything else?
Well, also just to say there is a $5 door cover, but if you especially come from any kind of place of privilege, we want to encourage you to give more at the door, because all the money is going to go towards the organization we're benefiting. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and also another way that you can help HEX is at HEX. If you see something wrong, say something. So we're always trying to make HEX as inclusive and as safe as possible for everyone, specifically those that aren't in places of power or privilege. So you can always let one of us know if you see something that's not okay, or if you feel safe and comfortable adjusting that on your own, because we want HEX to be as super fun as possible.